Thank God it's Friday. Good evening to the FM Talk 106 listening audience. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you so much for tuning in for our second episode. We have a whole lot of really exciting things to talk about tonight, so let's get to it. In the studio, we have three fantastic members of this evening's conversation team. The first is my lovely wife, Miss Aquilyn Kennedy. The second is Mrs. Jenny Aris, a local career educator and candidate for Mobile County Commission. The third is our lead sponsor for tonight's show, Mr. Kyle Moffitt, who is the owner of two UPS stores, one at the corner of Airport and University, right next to Dirt Cheap, and the other at University and Cottage Hill in the same shopping center as the Walmart neighborhood store. And last but in no wise least, our friend Mr. Phil Bush, who is working the production board. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Fantastic. Great.
Good. Thank you guys so much for coming out. So, just like we did last week, we want to start out our show with something good. So, Jenny, tell me something good.
I would love to. Okay. So, this is a little thing, but we all know little things are big things.
Indeed.
And so, the other night, I was doing laundry. And I have a 14-year-old.
Okay.
And I had to make sure his pockets were okay to go, you know, put them in the washing machine. And I found a little, like, piece of paper, a little folded note in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened it up, it said, "Dear Henry, thank you for being such a good example for your peers in Spanish class."
Oh, my gosh. That is absolutely great.
And it said, "Please keep up the good work."
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Aquilyn, tell me something good.
Hello, everyone. Well, first things first. God is good all the time, and all the time,
God is good.
Yes.
Amen. That's the one thing that I know is always good. But secondly, something that was amazing this week, actually earlier this week, September 11th, a day of mourning and a day of rebirth and renewal. We were at the original Oyster House on the Causeway. And I don't know if you know about this, but they fed our first responders.
Yes.
That
yes.
place Aww. Was packed. There were fire trucks, just everything. It was amazing. The love in that place, oh, my God, it was amazing. So, I mean, something good, I just have to give it to, you know, hats off to the Oyster House, the original Oyster House, and just everyone who was so supportive and loving of our first responders, our firemen. I love our firemen, as much as I love our nurses, just our police. I'm just so thankful, and I know all of us are. We thank you, thank you, thank you. So, that's what's good.
All right, Yay. Aquilyn, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. And my something good actually is an event that I attended last night at Spring Hill College. It was called the Trilogue, and it was the interfaith community coming together. So think about Jewish, Christian, and Muslim all in the same room at the same time, talking about issues of how it is that we actually understand each other better and how it is that we can actually continue to move our social justice mission forward. You know, any time that we're actually talking to each other, that's a good thing for our society.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the agenda for tonight. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to review the top three news headlines from the last 7 days, and then I'm going to introduce tonight's first discussion topic. After that, we'll start the conversation with our in-studio guests and then open up the phone lines and continue the conversation with all of you. In the bottom half of the hour, we're going to do a quick sponsor spotlight, so you'll hear Kyle's voice a lot more at that time. Then we'll introduce tonight's second discussion topic and then run up against the clock. Does that work for everybody?
Absolutely.
All right. So for all of those of you who are listening right now, the phone and text lines are open. Please call or text us at 251-343-0106. Okay, going to the headlines. Headline number one. The first headline comes from the Alabama Political Reporter. It reads, "Doug Jones launches One Alabama reelection campaign." The article is written by Brandon Mosley and published on the website alreporter.com. What did the author have to say? I quote, "Sunday, U.S. Senator Doug Jones, Democrat from Alabama, launched his reelection campaign in Birmingham. The theme of the Jones campaign is One Alabama. The launch of the One Alabama showcases the senator's history, his roots in the state, and his record fighting for Alabama's diverse community." The second headline comes from an opinion piece on AL.com website. It reads, "An Air Force veteran remembers September 11th. It was written by Mary Scott Hunter, who at the time was a captain in the United States Air Force. What did the author say? She said that she was deployed overseas to the Ali al-Salam Air Base in Kuwait. When the terrorist attack happened, there was an announcement. And it's an announcement that I have heard several times as a military officer myself, and it's the one that causes you to really focus on what is happening. The announcement says, "This is not a drill." And instantly you know that it's really happening. She described the first few days after September 11th and even described an individual operation involving an unmanned area vehicle. It reads as follows. "We armed a UAV with Hellfire and sent it to rain down on terrorists in Afghanistan. We watched the video later. It felt good at first, and then it didn't." The final headline for tonight's show comes from CNN Politics, The Point with Chris Cillizza. It reads, "Winners and losers from the third Democratic presidential debate." What did the author have to say? He said the winners were Joe Biden, Beto O'Rourke, Barack Obama, and Kamala Harris. He said the losers were Julian Castro, Andrew Yang, Elizabeth Warren, and the economy. So with this in mind, our first discussion topic is, what did you think about the presidential debate? If you'd like to share your thoughts, please give us a jingle at 251-343-0106. Again, that's 343-0106. So, Jenny, what did you think about last night's debates?
Okay, so I guess I'll kind of frame my answer in terms of the winners and losers.
Okay.
So I would have to say that for me, the winners are were the issues, right? The fact that we have a slate of candidates all fighting the good fight. They're all fighting for the most vulnerable among us, the issues of economic justice, social justice, income inequality, health care, immigration reform, all of these. I mean, these are all really important things to be fighting for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that in the conversation right now, particularly on the Democratic side of the fence, everyone wants to throw around the word socialism and use that as its own sort of inflammatory rhetoric.
A weapon, right? Right.
Absolutely. Now, we'll dig down a little bit deeper into, you know, what it is and what it's not, distinguishing between a progressive point of view and a more moderate point of view, but at least the intent of what they were trying to communicate with the issues is positive. So I'm going to pause just for a second. I'm going to go to the phone lines and see who it is that we have on right now, and then we'll bring you back into the conversation.
Perfect.
Jenny. Hello, this is Kennedy for Alabama. Who do we have on the phone line today?
Hey, Robert, this is George Sneed.
Hey, George, how you doing today?
I'm great. It's good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you as well. So for the listening audience, just let us know where you are originally from and where you are right now.
I was born and raised in Mobile, Alabama, graduate of Shaw High School, graduate of Auburn University.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for providing us with that background. So George, one of the things that we wanted to do with this show was we wanted to have the listening audience hear the way that you and I normally banter back and forth about these issues. So I know you watched the debate last night. What did you think?
I did watch the debate last night. It was the third Democratic debate that I watched. Actually, I felt like a little surprised that Joe Biden was still the leader. I found myself pulling for Joe, but I found him stumbling. I found Castro to be extremely believable. I was a little disappointed that he's continuing to attack Biden. I think Biden's been beat up enough. He got a lot of that from Harris, who I used to really support. But I feel like overall, Beto and Castro probably were the most straightforward and believable. However, their poll numbers aren't.
Hey, George, can you hold on for just for a second? We need to go to a break. Can you hold on for us?
Sure.
Okay, all right. We will talk to you in a second. You guys have been listening to Kennedy for Alabama. We will be right back after the break. Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. I am your host, Robert Kennedy Jr. Thank you guys for listening. Really do appreciate having you with us tonight. So before we went to the break, we were talking to George Sneed, and he was sharing his thoughts on the presidential debate. George, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Well, George, you there?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right. So when we left the debate, you were talking a little bit about Beto and Julian Castro. So go ahead and pick up where you left off.
Again, I felt like of all of the candidates, they were most believable.
Okay.
I felt like everyone else really dug into their positions, meaning, you know, Warren and Bernie, they're really far, far left. I mean, Bernie's definitely, in my opinion, a true socialist. I think Warren leans that way also, but I think they doubled down on their position, so they're not trying to move to the center.
Okay, hey George, I'm going to push you on one thing with Beto, and so I am a Second Amendment purist when it comes to issues of the Second Amendment. So we just got a text message in, and they said every time they hear a candidate say that we are coming for your guns, what they really hear them say is that we're going to guarantee Donald Trump gets reelected. What do you think about his stance on saying that they're coming after the AR-15s?
I was disappointed that he took that stance, but I can understand it because the last shooting in Walmart was in his hometown, a town that he grew up in and represented, so he probably has been forced from his camp to take a stronger stance. Personally, I am a gun owner. I'm licensed to carry in Georgia, and I don't agree with that stance of taking guns. I think we should have more background checks and more responsible gun ownership, but I don't agree with that move, and I think that'll probably set him back.
Okay, George. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. We know that you're traveling. Get home safely, and let's talk soon, okay?
I'm sure I'll call back another time.
All right. Thank you so much. So now we're back in the studio with Jenny, and we were starting a conversation before George called in about the concept of winners and losers. So pick up where you left off.
Okay. So, again, I think the issues were the winners. I also think that the location was a winner. I thought it was fantastic.
Tell me what you mean by the
that
location.
That it was held at an HBCU, right?
Okay.
And in Houston, which is one of the most racially, ethnically diverse cities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks kind of like the America that we sort of all sort of strive to be, right? Who we really are. Mm-hmm. And so I thought
That's great. Yeah,
yeah.
That is great. I have a little bit of a different cut.
Okay.
As I was watching it last night, I didn't catch it at the very beginning because of the trilogue that I was participating in. So I actually watched it on DVR later on. And I really felt like it just kind of drug.
Yeah.
And so if I was to put it in terms of winners and losers, the academic part of my brain, the part that's a political scientist, trained political scientist, I would say that Elizabeth Warren has consistently met or exceeded expectations in the sense that she's owned this area.
Totally agree.
Right? Now, I'm a moderate.
Yes.
Right? I am unapologetically pragmatic. I own the center, and it's something that I am enthusiastic and passionate about. So there's some of her policies that are a little left for my taste personally.
Right.
But I understand that she has been consistent.
And she substantiates her claim. She's got – she can actually clearly lay out the policy and clearly articulate her ideas.
Absolutely.
So that – yeah, she's solid.
So she stood out to me.
Yes.
Beto also stood out to me, but for a reason that was different. Because of the events that happened in El Paso, to be on stage as a presidential candidate and have all of your peers on the stage essentially giving you props for the way that you carried
yourself
actually made him look better last night than he did at other points in time.
Totally
right?
agree with that. Yep.
And similar to what George just said, I am a gun owner. Mm-hmm. I am a concealed carry permit holder as mm-hmm. well. And when he made the statement that we were going to essentially do a mandatory buyback on all AR-15s, it took what has historically been a rather rational debate about gun control, things like universal background checks, for example, or some of the red flag laws, and instantly substantiated every fear that Republicans have typically articulated with people coming to take our guns away.
Right.
So he literally lost me at that point. But from the academic part of my brain, I can see that he did a really good job. Let me pause just for a second. Looks like we have another caller on the line. So it looks like we have Jimmy calling from Fairhope in Montgomery. Jimmy, welcome to Kennedy for Alabama.
Yeah, this guy just called in. All these presidents of Kennedy were talking about they're hardcore socialists.
Okay.
Most of them are Rothschild cutouts.
Okay.
And one of these presidents of Kennedy says, I don't know if it's O'Rourke or Butterwig, whatever how you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is a man.
Okay.
Did you know that?
Yes, sir. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Yeah, these people coming for the guns. I mean, they're not going to get any votes unless you're extremely liberal.
Hey, Jimmy. Let me ask you a question. What is socialism to you?
Socialism?
Yeah. What is it?
Socialism is when people depend on the government for a lot of things like food and clothing and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Okay. So thank you so much for sharing those thoughts with us. I think one of the things that's really important for us is to have a good conversation about what things are, and that allows us to have an informed conversation about what we agree with and what we don't. We really appreciate your call. Keep listening.
Do you know what the Frankfurt School was in Germany in the 30s?
Say that again?
The Frankfurt School in Germany in the 30s.
Yes.
It was a communist think tank, and they moved it to this country.
And I don't think we have enough time, unfortunately, Jimmy, but I would encourage you to really look into socialism, because I do think that the way that you're using the term is not exactly the way that it's actually being applied.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. We appreciate it. So I actually want to pull on this just a little bit, because I think sometimes everyone gets lopped into the same package. So let's unpack this. There were 10 candidates on the stage last night. You have candidates on the left of the progressive wing. You have candidates that are in the center. So typically when we talk about socialism is a political and economic system where the government owns the means of production, right? None of the candidates are actually talking about that. The candidate who's the farthest to the left, if you were talking about Bernie Sanders and Medicare for All, he wants the government essentially to take the entire bill for all of healthcare.
Right.
That is the farthest to the left anybody is, but he's not saying the government is going to be the hospitals, the government is going to be the doctors, the government
is going to be. But they're endorsing socialist programs, which, by the way, are hugely popular in the U.S., like, for instance, right? Medicare.
Exactly.
Right? Social Security. I mean, these are things that are socialist. So I don't think you can just throw away the entire. Like, you can't throw away the term, but then sort of just grab onto the little elements that you like and work for you.
But that's the thing that's so important about having the conversation.
Absolutely.
And then even when you identify what was happening on the stage, there were really only two candidates, Warren and Sanders, who were advocating the government completely drive this through Medicare for All. All of the other candidates, so 8 of the 10, were talking about some sort of public option.
Absolutely.
Where the individual American citizen would ultimately be able to decide whether they wanted to choose the government program or whether they wanted to choose the private sector
Absolutely.
Program. And that is really the basis of what our country is.
Right.
It's this capitalism, a capitalistic focus, but with some regulation and some rules that make sure that we're all taken care of.
And my progressive heart just wants to close on one note, that I think it's important to our LGBT listeners that we clarify that Pete is not, it's not his wife, but it is his partner or his husband that is a man. And I just think that's important to note. So.
And the other thing that's actually really interesting about this, when we talk about liberty and justice for all, we talk about
for all
the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
That at the end of the day, that isn't really a function for government to determine who it is that you want to spend your life with.
Can we get an amen?
Absolutely.
And we also need to respect, right, people who are different as well. So
absolutely. Okay. So, Jenny, we have a little less than a minute left. Is there anything else that you would like to share at this time?
Okay. So, again, I'm actually excited, even though we obviously disagree with our caller, Jimmy. I appreciate the fact that he's listening. I mean, I think that's important, and I think that's why we're all here. So I hope that we can just kind of expand our listening circle here and that more people will begin to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the reason why we started Kennedy for Alabama was to elevate the level of political discourse.
Yes.
And it's only through conversations where we put things on the table, we can articulate times when we agree, we can articulate times that we don't agree, but it's through the clash of those two points of view that actually allow us to move everything forward. So I appreciate Jimmy calling in, and I hope more people call in with their thoughts about everything that we're doing and their debrief of last night's debate. This is Kennedy for Alabama. We're going to go to the break. We will see you back on the other end in just
Yay.
A few minutes.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Thank you for joining us at Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who are just joining, we have been having a really good conversation debriefing last night's presidential debate. We had two callers who called in, and we actually had Jenny, who was with us in studio. I'm going to wrap this conversation up, and then we're going to move on into our candidate spotlight. So what do I think? In terms of winners and losers, it's an expectations game. And so the folks who met or exceeded expectations were Senator Warren and Beto O'Rourke. Now, as I mentioned before, he created a problem for himself on the gun issue, because he basically confirmed the fears that most folks who are strong Second Amendment supporters often talk about. They're coming to take our guns. When it comes to Vice President Biden, for example, he needs to do better. He did not do a good job last night. Now, he did good enough in order to kind of meet expectations, so there are not going to be any long-term negative impacts on his ability to raise money. I would say something similar about Senator Bernie Sanders as well. And then the rest of the folks kind of faded into the background. When we talk about losers, I really think it was captured in a comment that was made by Mayor Pete B. He said, presidential debates are getting to the point that they're almost unwatchable. And this is because it reinforces everything that the listening audience hates about Washington. It's the pettiness. It's the snickering back and forth. It's the swinging and punching just to get political points. What we really need to do from a call to action perspective is come up with a format that allows us to get a little bit deeper into the core issues so that the listening audience knows what those issues are and what truly distinguishes the candidate. Not a lot of sound bites or marketing slogans or dog whistles. Mm-hmm. We absolutely positively have to do better. And that is my call to action that I am issuing to the Democratic National Committee and to everyone who goes through the process of facilitating debates. So with that, we're actually going to move on to our sponsor spotlight. So we have Mr. Kyle Moffitt in studio with us today. How you doing, Kyle?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I cannot complain at all. Tell me something good.
Let's see. Something good. Usually when I think about something good, I'm thinking about my kids.
Okay.
My youngest daughter is a pre-law student, a junior at Dillard University. She just was named the team captain of their nationally ranked mock trial team.
Oh,
and
oh
so
wow.
We are extremely excited about that and gassing up the cars.
Yay.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So, hey, I'm going to pause you just for a second. It looks like we have another call coming in. Let's go to Ben in Spanish Fort. Hey, Ben, are you on the air?
I just tuned in to the radio show here, and it's phenomenal.
Hey, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
I wanted to give you my take on some things. I guess I technically lean conservative, voted Republican a lot. But,
okay.
What's fantastic, I watched every single Democratic debate, and I just hope that everyone is doing that, regardless of party affiliation.
Good for you, Ben.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I watch a lot of that and a lot of the TYT and things like those. But I watch all that because of a couple of reasons. One, this show's great because it's so nice to hear people actually just talk and stop screaming about everything.
Yeah, that was our goal.
I love it.
And I see that on both sides. So it really bothers me because I know there's a lot of folks who are, you know, on the right side, a lot of people on the left side. And I just keep hearing people say, just throw out terms I don't understand, throw out, you know, because they're not paying attention to all the things that are being said. So that's my first
point. And part of the reason why they do that is it doesn't require a whole lot of intellectual curiosity discipline, right?
Yep. So that being said, I wish that everybody, because, you know, there are things that I like about a current president. There are a lot of things I don't like about a current president. So you have to look out and try to find somebody that meets those values that are important to you. So I'm definitely doing that. But the thing that I would say that really bothers me the most is, and this is great for this show, is out there, is the one thing that bothers me, the Beto O'Rourke thing last night with the guns thing, I think is you hit that straight on the head. I think you just drive that fear factor with that.
Exactly.
But second, the thing that bothers me the most is when I hear people say, and a lot of times I see it in the post-wrap-up, is when you talk about Medicare. I've been in the health field for 16 years clinically.
Okay.
And I am 100% in favor of, let's have lots of conversation about how to get healthcare better,
mm-hmm.
how to get people well, how to avoid all that stuff. So I really enjoy that conversation, but it keeps getting hijacked, I think, when I hear things like, we have to go to this version of Medicare for All because it's going to provide everything you like and it's going to give you everything that you want, so you have to go this way. The thing that bothers me is put a great program out there that allows you to have everything you want, but you can't say, this will give you what you want, so you have to take it.
Absolutely, and I think...
And when Warren says, I've never met anyone who likes their... That's a ridiculous statement.
Yeah, hey Ben, let me jump in here right quick.
Yeah.
So where I'm with you is on the numbers, right? So everyone assumes that everyone agrees with the Senator Sanders, Senator Warren side of the fence, right? One of the things I thought that came out particularly well was when they said, if you put out a public option, then the individual person can decide, do they want to stay with their private insurance that they have through their employer? Do they want to go with the public option? They get to decide. And it's the competition between those two that will ultimately end up benefiting one group or the other. Thank you so much, Ben, for calling in. We really appreciate it. We'll look forward to continuing to hear from you in the weeks ahead. So before Ben called us, we were actually talking to Kyle a little bit. So tell us about what you're doing professionally right now.
Well, I own two UPS stores, as you mentioned earlier. The first one's at Airport and Schillinger in the Dirt Cheap Shopping Center, next to Dirt Cheap in Hobby Town.
Okay.
The second one is at University and Cottage Hill in the neighborhood Walmart Shopping Center, right next to the car wash on the far end.
All right.
A lot of people think the UPS store, basically, we ship things, which
right.
we do. But we also offer mailboxes. Printing is really big. A lot of people don't know us for that, but we do a lot of printing, business cards, brochures. I actually have two college-degreed graphic designers working for me.
And
if you have an idea of something that you
even
want.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we will actually design and create whatever you need and finish it for you.
Okay. Well, Kyle, thank you so much for your support and your commitment to sponsor this show and support that you've given us in the past as well. We really definitely appreciate it. And stay in touch, man.
Oh, most definitely.
Letting us know how you're doing. So, actually, we're going to shift gears just a little bit. We're going to put the presidential debate on pause for the time being, and we're going to talk a little bit about 9/11. Let's go back to the phone lines. So who do we have on the air?
Who do you want it to be on the
So introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell the listening audience how we know each other.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Jeff Kennedy. I am Robert's brother, and I think I've known him all my life. Yeah. That's about it.
We love you, Jeff. It's so good to hear your voice.
There you go. Hey. Well, thank you so much for calling in. One of the things that I wanted to shift gears to was the topic of 9/11. And just so you know, we only have about 3 minutes left before the break. What I wanted you to do was just talk a little bit about where were you on September 11th, and then ultimately how did it end up impacting your professional life?
Oh, certainly. And thanks for asking, because the way it's impacted my life, we'll get to that, especially my career. But on that day, it was an off day for me. I was actually taking my son to school, preschool, whatever it was at that time. And on the way back to the house, I turned on the radio, and that's when I started hearing the news feed on a plane hitting one of the World Trade Center buildings. And at the time, you think, nah, this is unless it was a Cessna and someone doing something and some sort of shenanigans, you know, that's the only thing you could really justify why a building that big would be hit by a plane. Mm-hmm. And later on, getting to the house, turning on the news, that's when I was able to see the second plane hit the South Tower. And at that point, like most people tuning in at whatever point, you were very concerned about what was going on. And I don't believe
Absolutely.
I remember the exact time, but you and I ended up on the phone for the majority of that afternoon, that late morning going into early afternoon, discussing where do we go from here. And as far as the impact on my career, it was the second moment, I would say, that was watershed for me when it comes to studying and being prepared professionally for facing extremism and terrorism. The first one was when I was deployed in Saudi Arabia at Dhahran, and the Khobar Towers were bombed. I wasn't there for the bombing. I wasn't there for the bombing, but I was there 2 years prior when we first received the intel that that was a possibility, and then it happened.
Yeah, but, just a couple of things to round out your background, just so folks understand. You were serving in the United States Air Force, and
yes,
you were also a career firefighter. So we love our first responders.
Thank you for your service, Jeff.
Indeed.
Well, thank you very much.
We know that it was your brothers and sisters of arms who chose to go into the towers to rescue people, even though I remember we were having the conversation on the phone, and you were saying that they were going to fall, right? You could tell just by the way that jet fuel was burning. And to understand the impact that had on your life from that point forward, and the impact that it had on mine as well, that was when I decided to reaffiliate with the Naval Reserves. So we were glad and honored to be able to serve. We love the country. Obviously, that was a day that hurt us very deeply, but it's something that we reflect on and try to figure out ways to do better so that we never have to deal with anything like that again.
Yeah. One of the things that went missing, I think, a lot was, you know, that was September 2001.
Hey, Jeff, do you have a second? We need to go to another break. So can you hold on for just a few minutes?
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And thank you for coming back to Kennedy for Alabama. So before the break, we were actually talking to Division Chief Jeffrey Gerald Kennedy, my older brother, about memories and reflections on September 11th. So, Jeff, you still there?
I am.
Okay. So you were starting to transition to tell us a little bit about the impact that it had on your career as you managed both the Air Force Reserve portion as well as the civilian fire department portion. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the segue was the fact that the 343 firefighters from New York that died that day really instilled a sense of preparedness and readiness for my community. So by being in the Air Force at the time in the reserves, I had an opportunity to get a lot of education and a lot of training from the military perspective. And at the same time, with the number of different grants and all of the different programs that were being pushed forward for the civilian fire community, I was able to take advantage of a lot of that training and education.
Okay.
And where it paid off for me was having that exposure, meeting different people, networking, that I was able to really build a base and build some relationships that helped me later on to intersect with law enforcement, not only at the local level, but at the federal level. And then, of course, having relationships with people also on the international level. So where it intersects with what I do today as a division chief, it continues to allow me to build relationships that allow for our readiness in a 10-county area to be a little bit better than it was before. Not that it was bad. It's just that, you know, every time you take on a job, the intent is for the next person to be better than the person before, the program to continue to grow. So I've been very fortunate enough to have those opportunities.
And that's great. So thank you so much for calling in. The one thing that I did think about as you were telling your story was this issue of legacy. And one of the other tell me goods that I had written down in my notepad was the story of the sons and daughters of the New York firefighters who lost their life on September 11th, who had actually joined the Fire Academy and were now becoming part of the Brotherhood and Sisterhood. So we really appreciate what you do and what all other first responders continue to do to keep us safe. So be careful out there and Godspeed. We'll talk soon.
Oh, thanks a lot. Mom always said you had a face for radio.
I just am so happy I look like my mother and not like my father who looks like you. So, yeah, we'll talk soon, okay?
And here we go.
All right, so we have another caller on the line. So, hello. Who has just joined us at Kennedy for Alabama?
Hey, this is Clyde Jones calling from Daphne. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Clyde Jones calling from Daphne. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So, we were just having a conversation about September 11th and how that impacted us and kind of how it is we've managed to go forward from there. So tell us, where were you on September 11th, and then how did it impact your life going forward?
Well, I was active duty Army at Fort Gordon, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
That morning.
Okay.
And when we heard it on the radio, someone ran in the office and said, hey, a plane has hit one of the towers in New York. And I went into the other room and turned the TV on and watched another plane hit, thinking that it was just a replay of the...
Yep.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
And they said, no, that just happened. I was like, oh, my goodness. So,
right.
So for us, I was a senior instructor at a non-commissioned officer academy at the time, which means I had soldiers from all over the country that were there, and many of them had family members that worked at the towers or near the towers. So we spent all day trying to contact families and ensure that their family members were safe and okay. Fortunately, the three or four that we had there, they were all accounted for and safe.
Well, that's good to hear.
It was a day. I mean, just like everyone else, it's a day you'll never forget where you were.
Absolutely.
So for me, there was a moment when I saw that it dawned on me that life would never be the same again. As
That's
a soldier,
the truth.
I knew that things had changed forever for us.
Right.
And it just like a wave, it came over me like nothing will ever be the same. So. As we celebrated or not commemorated the anniversary, 18th anniversary this week, it was really somber for me because I not only think about the lives lost that day, I think about the lives that were lost of my comrades while we were in Iraq and Afghanistan. And as a first sergeant over in Iraq, the first 2 weeks I was there, I went to 5 memorial services.
Oh, my gosh.
Memorial services.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Were killed. So when that anniversary comes, I not only think about that day, I think about those who went on after as well.
Yeah, it's ultimately about our nation's priorities and, you know, the blood and treasure that our generation and the generations coming behind us actually have to put on the table whenever we decide to engage in something like this.
Absolutely.
You know, I'll actually do a small little reference to the debate from last night and simply say that we really do need to ensure that Congress has a more diligent role in any decisions that we actually make to put that, you know, blood and treasure up. Because if you think about it, you know, 18 years we've been in a continuous state of war. At some point, we need to transition off that so that we can take those dollars, protect those lives, and put them into others of our nation's priorities.
That's right. Absolutely. And if you think about 18 years as well, we have a generation graduating from high school a year this year that all they've ever known is post-9/11.
Yep.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Clyde, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
And your commitment to the nation. Is there anything else that you want to share with us right now?
No. Thank you for what you all are doing and continue the great work.
All right.
Thank you,
thanks
Clyde.
A lot.
Thanks, Clyde.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
So we have about a minute and a half left before this show ends. I just wanted to thank all of you for tuning in to Kennedy for Alabama. When we decided to start the show, our goal was to elevate the level of political discourse by actually talking to each other about the issues and doing that without calling each other names. And as we continue to go through the weeks ahead, we will have more people that we're bringing into studio, just normal, everyday people who have a perspective on these things, because we know it's ultimately up to us to decide what kind of country we want to live in. So with that, I want to wish good luck to all the folks who are going to be engaged in football games here over the weekend. We have the Viger Wolves against the Satsuma Gators, the Blunt Leopards against the St. Paul Saints. Of course, my personal favorite, which is Navy football. Go Navy, beat East Carolina. On Sunday, we have the New Orleans Saints versus the L.A. Rams. Go Saints, who dat nation rise.
Who dat.
And as we get to the tail end of the program right now, thank you all for listening. Please remember to keep all members of the armed services in your thoughts and prayers. And also keep in mind all the DOD civilians who support them without ever getting a holiday for themselves. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and you have been listening to Kennedy for Alabama. Until next week.